Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're gonna play on and stand strong with Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on. Bump up the volume. It's time to play ball. With Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on.
All right, welcome to the championship rounds of Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. It is great to have you with us for the next hour. Our good friend and family member of this fine show, Kalena Azubuki, joining us in studio right now. And we are streaming this live on the website, 957thegame.com. Book, we know it was a long night with you covering the Warriors, but thank you so much for coming in there. How you doing?
No problem, man. I'm good. I get up early, you know what I mean?
No problem
to come in.
Looking
glad to be good with you guys. Yeah, it's been a while. I feel like it's been a while. It's the last time I was here.
It's been too long. Well, they haven't had a home game in like 7 months.
That is
so
true.
You've been on the road. You've been in Toronto and Portland. You've been everywhere.
How was Toronto?
Toronto is great. I love
really?
Toronto. Yeah, I went to the Hockey Hall of Fame. It's funny. I've never even been to a real live hockey game,
sure.
A real live pro hockey game, but I started out by going to the Hall of Fame. So I think I'm doing it backwards.
Reverse, yeah, but it's all right.
But
it's
it works.
Right.
It works.
You learn your history and then
exactly.
You go enjoy the sport. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
But good town.
The Stanley
good
Cup
food,
was there. Yeah,
great.
Oh, great food. We went to the Brunch Fest and they had triple decker chicken and waffle sandwiches. Incredible. The cookies, I think I tasted the best chocolate chip cookies I've ever had.
That's real.
They
bold
have
take.
The
best chocolate chip cookies
on
ever?
The planet.
Did you say ever?
On the planet.
The slap in the face to America, that is.
Perfectly crispy. No, don't
hey,
make it that.
Yes,
don't
man.
Do
how
that.
Do on this show.
Don't
this is not your
that.
First time here.
Mrs. Fields rolling over.
I'm just trying to be objective,
there's a
man.
There's a great
do
chicken and waffles.
Better than anybody.
No, I've just never had a sandwich better. Like that. Triple decker, though.
Man,
I've never had a triple
he's
decker.
He's talking about moving to Canada. Look at this
just
guy.
Just like you guys. You would make it. I'm turning against.
No, no,
yeah,
that's you. Oh, Canada.
That's not how it is, man. I'm just giving them props where they deserve it.
Guy's trying to get every passport out there. We've already got English passport, American passport.
Actually, I don't have a British passport because I was born in between the years. I got caught in between the years where they changed the rule where your parents had to be born there for you to be a citizen, and you had to be a certain age to get your papers in. I was right in between, so I didn't get my. So I'm only
no dual citizenship.
I only have an American. Yeah.
Okay.
Where were your parents born?
They were born in Nigeria.
So you don't have a passport there?
No.
So you only have an American
it's
passport?
It's messed up. And the British national team tried to get me a passport and go through their little whatever, and it wasn't working. They were like, nah, you're not doing that. We got to make it official. Yeah, that's not how you do that.
The British
skip.
National team wanted you to play for them?
Yeah.
Damn, I didn't
know
that.
And they still couldn't get it done. Ron Watula.
Wow. The Whigs and the Tories. I told you about this yesterday.
Yeah.
The political parties over there can't be trusted.
Yeah.
Even to corruptly get an American onto their basketball team, they can't even get the guy's passport.
Here.
I wonder
who else you would have played alongside. I'm trying to think of the other great
Luol Deng was, I mean, he's a guy that plays for the British national
Senegalese,
team.
Senegalese, right?
Yeah, he's
Wayne Rooney.
Too. Yeah.
He's English. He may have been on the team.
Seriously, Beckham, knockdown shooter.
John Terry.
I guess. I mean, we could throw soccer.
Just go into every sport.
Peter Crouch.
6'6". Maybe you can find some good snooker players to join the team
man.
As well.
Darts.
Right. We laugh because
I went to Buckingham Palace. Sorry, go ahead.
No, please.
Oh, wow.
No, I was going to say I went to Buckingham Palace but didn't get in. So I was going to ask them if they could maybe work something out, but I didn't get past the gate. And the soldiers tried to make the soldiers laugh. That wasn't working.
No.
Tall
rough,
man.
It was a rough trip.
They didn't say you play professional sports. Tall guy.
No. It didn't work.
You athlete? Right.
They're steely-eyed. They just stared at me.
What are you doing here?
We don't know who you are.
Sir.
Leave.
Sir. I am an athlete. I would like to come in.
You're not British.
Great
what
guess.
Are you doing?
All right.
Yeah,
we laugh because we're coming
that's
off.
That's not British. Australia. That's Australia.
We didn't. Let's go. We're on the Cincinnati.
Oh, no, we're not on the Cincinnati.
No. Neither one
I
of us
tried to be
both.
On wow. The Cincinnati, and then you jumped in with your Australian accent.
He said it so confidently, too. Like,
No.
No, that's wrong.
It's 5 yards.
The amazing thing about it is if you look at a globe and you find England and then Australia, they're probably the furthest points from
not
each other
close.
On the entire globe.
Not
that's
even
a
close.
Big swing and a miss right there.
Right before we
that's
both.
It's like picking Portland to win that series. Against the Warriors.
I never did that.
You didn't do that?
No.
Chilton Auto Body 95795 says you did.
They're lying.
Did you take a knee on it or something?
No.
After you picked it?
I just said it'd probably go seven because I thought Portland was hot. They, you know, with all the injuries, they
well, that
go
was
through.
Wrong.
Yeah, it was
sweeping
wrong.
Sweeping seven is
yeah, I was wrong.
Way off.
I was wrong. But Joe Gibbs was wrong. Anna was wrong. Everybody was wrong. So
throw everybody else under the bus.
He can't
go down
the way he goes. He's the only one riding with Toronto in the room, though. So if the Warriors do win the
you
finals,
did pick Toronto to win the Eastern
in
Conference
seven.
Yeah, but okay. So this is where we bring you in. We need your help because he has him in seven, and he's not trying to mess with anyone. He said before the series started, he laid out a very good case. He had the Raptors in seven. After what he saw last night, he's saying now he wants to bend the knee and say Raptors in six. So how alarmed should Warriors fans be based on the health of the players, based on the scenario as you see it right now? How alarmed should they be? Because he's not trying to troll. He's legitimately giving his honest assessment after his research and studying.
There could be a little concern. There's cause for a little bit of concern, but you got to think that the Warriors are getting reinforcements back. And Klay Thompson is going to play in game four. KD is practicing today. Barring a setback, he'll be back in game four.
That's big.
But it's not just a done deal if those guys come back that the Warriors are going to win. They got to come out way better defensively than they were in game three last night. Game three, the Raptors were moving the ball great, and they had some great offensive possessions. But the Warriors weren't really transitioning from help to on the ball very well. They weren't getting out to the shooters. They got way too many open looks. The Raptors were so comfortable. Danny Green was knocking down shots all over the place. Every time the Warriors tried to make a run, it was Danny Green knocking down a three-point shot. It was Kyle Lowry. So they got to be so much better defensively. The transition defense wasn't great. They were just kind of a step slow with their rotations a lot of times. And that's not going to cut it. Even if you get Klay Thompson and KD back, that has to be their mentality, right? Because a lot of times you're injured like that, and then you get back your best players. You're like, okay, we're good. We're good. We could just go out there and play, and we're going to get the win. But they have to have that sense of urgency still defensively, and I still feel like they have to be better defensively than they were last night. And if they do that, then I think the Warriors will definitely win.
And obviously that is predicated on KD and Klay being healthy enough to be able to move and play defensively and do the job on the perimeter. What about the idea of the center matchup? When you look at DeMarcus Cousins, Andrew Bogut, and Gasol, and Serge Ibaka, what happened there? Is it just a case of DeMarcus Cousins having an off night? Or would you say that maybe Bogut is a guy who you need to put on Gasol going forward?
I like Bogut on Gasol, and DeMarcus did have a rough night. But we do have to remember what DeMarcus is coming back from, right?
Right.
He had a partially torn quad, and there's going to be nights where he looks like he did in game two, where he's feeling great, moving well, throwing spin moves at guys, beautiful drives. They run some nice plays for him. He's getting rebounds, kind of running the floor. Last night he wasn't moving as well as he did in game two, and he didn't really have much lift. And it was affecting his game because he wasn't able to finish the way he wanted to. And the Raptors had a block party. I think there was a possession or a sequence where they had four or five blocks in a row.
Just a little goaltend party out there, too, if I may say.
There was a ton of goaltends.
A bunch of goaltends.
What was up with that? There was late calls from the refs had a rough night. There was
a bunch of late calls.
Why did they
look at me?
Goaltenders. I wasn't out there in time.
No, I'm just talking. No. Dibs. I don't know. For some reason, I talked to the refs and I just started about you.
Please
straight at me.
How do you feel about it?
Well,
he thinks they did a nice job.
It's not what I said, Joe, at all. You look at the crew they sent out there, and Kane Fitzgerald is a guy who had not refereed more than one NBA Finals game in his career. David Guthrie, Guthrie had done one. Fitzgerald had never done a game before. And what happened? You had a nervous crew of officials making too many calls early on. They had a rough night. And, oh, by the way, Mark Davis, old number eight, the official, is a guy who has not given the Warriors historically a very good whistle. So you see that, you know you're not going to get good calls, but that's not the reason they lost. And I hope you're not intimating as such, Glenna.
No, I'm not. Of course not. Come on.
Then why even bring it up?
I want to blame it on.
It's like story number nine.
I didn't bring it up.
He
said it. He said good.
I didn't say anything. I'm
but
sitting here hosting the show.
I'm just saying it was really weird that they missed that many goaltends and there was a bunch of late calls. And let's be honest, them being nervous is your excuse? That's not a good excuse. That's the NBA's fault, then, for putting them out there. Put out some experienced referees. You couldn't
understand
find an experienced
what
referee?
What has happened with the NBA officials, right, with a lot of the veteran guys retiring, and so the guys who don't have as much experience have to matriculate up.
No guys with experience left?
No, these are the good officials, and you can't have Scott Foster officiate every single game. You got to allow these guys to grow into the role. This is an opportunity where the adrenaline got the better of them early on, and the team's adjusted.
Send them to the G League if they need to grow. Right. We need the guys with experience.
Right, and the G League officials who have never done finals games either, we're just going to throw them into the hopper.
No, I'm not saying throw the G League. I'm saying get the guys that are experienced.
Right.
That have been there.
It's not like a goaltender suddenly changes.
Yeah, if you need to have a guy ref three games in a row, do it.
Right.
You need the best.
It's incredible how you in super slow-mo can detect exactly when the ball is starting to descend and thus is a goal.
Oh my God, they weren't even close. They weren't even close.
I literally could not do a worse job. I'm not saying I could do a better job. I couldn't do a worse job.
Absolutely, you could do a worse job, and you would do a worse job.
We were watching from the suites way up high and could tell it was a goal.
You watched it from the suites and you could tell it was.
Of course.
Wow.
With your handful of Chardonnay and you're chatting and eating free food.
That's besides the point.
You were up in the suites last night.
I didn't mean to subtle flex like that.
That's real.
I was just trying to let you know that I was really far away and it was not a tough call to make.
Always nice to have quality in these parts.
That far away.
Thank you for coming in today.
Remember, I wasn't able to get into Buckingham. I wasn't able to get into Buckingham Palace. I'm not royalty at all.
Okay, so you played through We Believe. Take that crowd compared to last night's crowd. How big of a difference are we talking about? Papa literally came on and 30 minutes ago and told us he was disappointed in the crowd last night.
Wow.
Honestly, yeah, I found it harsh too.
Honestly, I really didn't think about that while I was there, but
talk about it over the charcuterie board.
I think it was
really well played.
I'll describe it like this. It was a nervous energy. In game two, the Raptors crowd wasn't the exact same way as they were in game one. In game one, you could tell they were really confident. They were screaming. From the first three that Danny Green hit, it's like, okay, we feel good about this night. Danny Green's on. He finally found his shot. The guy is broke for long stretches, and then he can't miss for long stretches. That's how he goes, and the crowd was really excited. So I just knew that the crowd was looking at the Warriors going, oh, Clay's not going to play. Oh, KD's not there either. Looney's out. We feel bad for him. It's just a nervous, nervous energy. That's why it sounded like that.
Klenna Azubuike in studio with Joe Lo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. So it turns out the reports are coming out. The individual who shoved, I'm going to use the word for now, we can reassess if we want because there are a lot of ways to slice it. The individual who shoved Raptor guard Kyle Lowry last night, his name is apparently Mark Stevens, and he is a venture capitalist and part owner of the Warriors.
Boss.
So what do we make of this? Part owner of the Warriors with what appeared to be, correct me if I'm wrong, let's get as accurate as possible, it looked like a one-handed shove when Lowry jumped into the stands to try save the ball. Is that fair? I don't want to speak out of
turn. I think a shove is not as severe as a push. To me, a push is a two-handed, you're standing, you push somebody. This was just almost like a one-armed Heisman. I'm not excusing the action because it was inappropriate, but I think shove is a good way to describe it.
See, I disagree with you. Why is it Drake's allowed to put his hands on coaches, but a Warrior owner can't put his hand on a player?
But
what's the difference?
Drake's not putting his hand on the opposite player, the opposite coaches. That's a little
discrimination.
Different. And it was a little more of a hostile shove that he gave him.
Now, hold on. So Drake's allowed to walk away from his seat and put his hands on a coach. That we have deemed is somewhat okay, acceptable, no penalties handed out. But an owner of a team, when a player violently and intentionally throws himself into you,
violently,
you use an arm to get him away. Now suddenly you're the villain. I side with Sir Mark Stevens here.
Are you trying to get to his tickets for game four right now?
Well, he can't use them because he's suspended. Someone has to sit there, and I'd be willing to take that bullet.
I
will take that bullet.
It did seem like Kyle Lowry was a little extra there. He didn't have to go into the crowd with that much veracity.
It was theatrics.
But you still can't shove him.
Are you serious right now?
Because it was a little extra.
But he went in to get the ball. Now, here, the only thing that I'm saying is I could see if Lowry would have fell on this gentleman, I would have no problems with the guy shoving him to get him off him. He reached across another seat to shove. That's the difference.
I'm saying, yeah. So I was just saying, I was giving him that. But yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah, if he falls on me, if a guy falls on me, I'm going to push him.
It's called third-party self-defense. third-party self-defense. If you're standing with a friend, and you know how you, the rule of self-defense, if you can throw a punch to protect yourself, right? We all know that. It's a law. If you're being attacked, you can go ahead and throw a punch.
It was past him being attacked, though. He had already gotten up, and then he was shoved.
Self-defense.
He was just mad. Basically, Mark was saying, you can't be in here. You shouldn't have came over here. Get out of here.
This is fifth-person self-defense.
Mark Stevens did nothing wrong. If Drake is allowed to put his hands all over a coach, I don't understand why a part owner can't push an individual, a player, away from him when that player has committed assault by throwing himself into a series of people at a sporting event.
And according to Kyle Lowry, there were some words uttered that were very hostile.
Mm. Sorry to hear that, Kyle. Sorry to hear that. This is an NBA Finals game. What do you want? You throw yourself into the crowd. Oh, sir, let me help you up. And could you sign my Bible while you're at it? No. Let them know. You want to dive for a loose ball and you want to dive into me. I say $35,000 to this seat. I'm going to let you know what I think.
It sounds like some of the things he said crossed the line, though. So I don't know. Maybe, maybe not.
Now if we're in that territory, I'll just gladly accept the seat if he can't go to the game, and we'll move on from there.
Yeah, I'm sure you can get it for probably $42,000 a seat. The prices are probably going up for game four, which could be the final game ever at Oracle.
So do you see Durant and or Clay playing on Friday night? Main reason I asked today's Take Your Pick poll question, brought to you by FH Daily Chevrolet. It's up on the website now at 957thegame.com. Will Kevin Durant and Clay Thompson play in game four? Your options, both will play. Just Durant plays, just Thompson plays, neither plays.
I'm going to predict that Klay Thompson will definitely play. I just got an alert that he's definitely going to play.
All right.
I gave myself away. KD, honestly, people are saying he's going to play, but I'm a little more concerned.
Why?
Because this is the first day he's practicing.
Anderson Cooper over here.
No, and we're just assuming.
Normally you let a guy continue with his explanation before you why him to death.
What is this, Guantanamo Bay?
I'm sorry.
What's the 25th line in the alphabet?
I was going to give you the why anyway.
Why? But you know what I'm saying?
We're going to review it, Greg.
Why? You know what I was saying. Because everyone wants to know really why. Because everyone thinks he could play against Portland. People thought he was going to come back. Then they're like, whoa, what's going on? Maybe it's a little bit more serious. And then it's like, is it a two? Is it a grade one? Is it a grade two?
You asked him why, and then now you're explaining yourselves. Why don't we stand behind your why? Why, Klenna?
It's all good, Lowe. No, I just think this is the first day he's practicing, and everybody's just assuming it's going to go wonderful. We're not exactly sure. This is the first day he's practicing. You still got to be able to push off of that same leg that the calf is hurt on. And he may practice and go, it still doesn't feel like my other calf. It's still not 100%. And with calves and hamstrings, if those are 90, even 95%, and you can still feel a little bit, if it doesn't feel exactly like the other leg, to me, you're susceptible to re-pull it or restrain it. So I'm hoping the practice goes really well and he can explode off of that leg and he doesn't have to play thinking about the leg like, oh, I see that spot, but can I really get there? Can I push off like I want to? Because you use your calf pretty much anything you do when you're running, when you're pushing off, defending. They're going to attack him on that side. So hopefully they're able to do enough things to simulate what he's going to do in the game, because it's not like they're going a super live hard practice. He's going to go against coaches. He's going to do drills, whatever, to simulate it. So hopefully he can do that. But I'm just not going to assume that he's going to be great and that it's going to be a wonderful practice. And they're going to go, yep, it's exactly what we expected. This is the first practice. So I'm just not going to assume that he's going to be good to go.
The Warriors have released a statement on what happened with Kyle Lowry last night. Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Thank God. Because if you had said no, it's like, where do we go with the show now?
I actually don't want to hear it.
All right. Here it is. Quote, Mr. Stevens' behavior last night did not reflect the high standards that we hope to exemplify as an organization. We're extremely disappointed in his actions and, along with Mr. Stevens, offer our sincere apology to Kyle Lowry and the Toronto Raptors organization for this unfortunate misconduct. There is no place for such interaction between fans or anyone and players at an NBA game. Mr. Stevens will not be in attendance at any of the remaining games of the 2019 NBA Finals. Review of this matter is ongoing.
Wow.
First takeaway, the Warriors and Mr. Stevens apologized to Lowry and the Raptors, but not Canada. They left Canada out. You figure you almost have to go that extra mile there to let the nation know, man, it wasn't meant as an international, you know, altercation.
Incident.
It feels as if Canada needs an apology here, too, or things could get a little testy between our president and Prime Minister Trudeau.
We've had a good run, too, from a North American standpoint. Not a lot of conflict, not a lot of military conflict going back to, what, the Mexican-American War in the 1800s. So,
yeah, this. Not many U.S.-Canada wars.
I kind of think they went far enough, but I noticed they didn't ban him for life, though. They banned him just for the 2019, the remainder of this
series. The old LB, as we used to call it now in town.
Kyle, that's what Kyle Lowry was asking for. So is he going to be satisfied with this?
I think
does it really matter, though?
Can you really ban somebody who is a part?
You can't really. That's the thing.
You know, a major investor, as we avoid the O word.
And I think Kyle Lowry would understand that.
Yeah.
Wouldn't he?
But I don't think he knew who it was when he was asking for lifetime ban.
Knowing
what you know about who it is, I think just to ban him for the rest of the finals is probably enough.
I mean, you played. If you threw yourself into the crowd in a similar situation, something like that happened, what would you be thinking? Like, what would you be thinking in Lowry's shoes last night and then right now when you find out who it is?
Probably kind of the same thing because you're in the heat of the moment and you're pretty emotional and you're going hard and all of a sudden someone shoves you. What do you do when you're in the street and someone shoves you? It's almost like the same thing. And the frustrating thing for players is you don't feel like you can protect yourself. You can't reach over and shove them back. Now you're suspended for a game. You're hurting your team or whatever.
Oh, so, you're all over TV for just being the worst human being that's ever walked the face of the earth. There's no place for you in society.
When you said that we didn't apologize to Canada, 415 said, Joe, they should build a wall. I totally disagree with the
Build a wall, what, between us and Canada?
Yeah,
seems a bit extreme.
Exactly.
4-1 for a basketball game?
Too, a little too far.
You know what that would call? Who's going to pay for that?
Yeah, 415.
Canada will pay for it.
Canada will pay for it. That's going a little too far.
That was incredible. That was a great effort.
Great.
That was good effort, Boog. I like it.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
That was great. I should have given you a
hey.
Which is one of our favorite go-tos.
You love that, Boog.
The Kalena Prince sound.
I love it.
It's so good.
How does Kalena Azabuki see the rest of this series playing out? That cliffhanger brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
The NBA Finals. Warriors.
Curry!
Raptors.
Fly for the win!
Game 4. Tomorrow at 6. Only on 95.7. The Game. Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Great to have you with us today. It's Joe Lowendibs on 95.7 The Game. Good friend of ours, former Warrior. You can catch him on NBC Sports Bay Area. Kalena Azabuki
finally
in
got
studio
it right. Good
with
friend
us for this hour.
Stop. I'm not family, huh? That's crazy.
You said this morning you were. Well, you were. I'm the one who started that.
No, but he
thing,
pointed
so
it out, though. He pointed it out.
I put in my update.
Yeah.
I heard you say it. I was just because he was trying to check you, but he was the one that's saying it last time.
He also said you were family this morning and then threw Dibs out of the family in the process.
Right.
That's how we
He just likes
the
to bring people in and out. That's what you do? Just in and out of the family? Your
Sister
family
Sledge,
today.
We are
Depending
family.
On how you feel about them that day, huh?
That's right.
Pretty much.
Right.
And the best part about this is 30 seconds before we came back, he goes, here's a great question to ask Kalena for the next segment. It was like, hey, look at us. We're going to be razor sharp and talk basketball. And I try to introduce
and then
the show.
That way.
Tell people we're on the stream, 957thegame.com. You can watch us. And it's like, you know what? Forget about all the things you have to do as a host. Let me, butt naked and drunk, come storming into your house because I'm in the wrong apartment at night and see if maybe, I can help myself to any food you have in the fridge. And then when I realize the show's off the rails, I'll quietly turn my mic off, bow out, and walk out the door and leave you to deal with management.
You know what? That's five. Tease blocking. That's a 5-yard tease blocker. You know that. You know better.
You're going to throw a flag on that.
I just did. You shouldn't have tease blocked him, Joe. I mean, low.
Yeah, you're right.
Blew that one.
At this point, I don't even know if it's wrong.
Throw it back. Throw it back to him.
Oh, thanks, Glenn.
I'm sorry. I was just instigating, you know.
You know what? Just to get it phrased perfectly, because I wasn't really sure. What did you want to ask Kalena about Kevin Durant?
There's a perspective. Is Kevin Durant, is he going to play? Is he not going to play? We've heard a lot of reasons why he should play. What are some of the reasons as a professional athlete playing basketball, what would be some of the reasons why he may not want to play?
Well, just looking forward, thinking about the rest of his career, the big picture, right? If he has that view and he feels like he's 80%, because hamstrings and calves, those are injuries that are injuries you have to take your time with. And you have to make sure you rest long enough and give it time to heal all the way up, or you're susceptible to re-pull. I had a teammate, Corey Maggette, and this is a hamstring, a different body part, but same kind of thing.
Right.
And he had a string of hamstring injuries, and he just kept coming back when he was around 80%. He's like, okay, I'm feeling good to go. And he would re-pull it, he would restrain it, and it just kept going. Those are injuries where you have to take your time and rest and make sure they heal all the way up. And if they don't feel exactly like your other leg, honestly, you probably shouldn't play. And I understand it's the finals, and everybody's looking at KD, man, when is KD going to come back? But he has to be careful. And those are things he's got to think about. Honestly, if I was his teammate and he explained it to me that way, like, bruh, I still feel like that leg is not exactly like my other leg. I still feel something different in there, and it's a little scary. If he explained it to me that way, I wouldn't be as upset about it. Obviously, it's all hands on deck. This is the finals. You play hurt, all these different things, but that's an injury that's really close to the Achilles, and if you're compensating in any kind of way and something else goes, it's just probably not worth it. So I can understand if he doesn't play. But again, hopefully today he practices. He pushes off that thing, and he's like, man, I've sat out plenty of time. It's feeling really good. I don't feel anything in this calf, and I can get to my spots. I'm explosive. I can jump off of it. I can do the exact same thing I did when I hurt it, and I'm good to go. I'm not thinking about it. If he comes out like that and the practice goes that well, then put him in there. Throw him out there.
What did you originally predict for this series? What team and how many, and where do you stand now?
Warriors in six, and honestly, last night, the Toronto Raptors had to win that game. They had to win. If they lost that game with the Warriors as shorthanded as they were, the series may have been over in five, and I would have been wrong. But they won the game, and they had a lot of guys that came out. I think they wrote on the whiteboard, let it rip, and I guess they let it rip.
Tribute to Rip Hamilton.
Right. But the Warriors were shorthanded on the defensive side, too, and Klay Thompson wasn't there. And that was very evident on really both sides of the floor. And those guys got open shots, and Danny Green played great and all those things. So if the Warriors come out like Draymond says they're going to come out and bounce back and go win this game four, and they go back to Toronto and you got KD and Klay Thompson, they're playing with that same sense of urgency. And again, they're playing better defensively than they played last game. They can win in six and come home here and finish it out. At Oracle, Steph wins MVP, and it'll be a great time.
You see, there are still idiots. They love the idea of coming out of the woodwork after the big performances to cut him down. I saw it again. I'm not going to name the guy.
Oh, Lord.
But he's got a national show, and he basically comes out and talks about how remarkable yesterday's performance was. 47 points. He looked fantastic, incredible, all these great words. But it really did highlight the fact that he needs someone better than him to help him win games in the finals. I'm paraphrasing. That's not exactly what he said, but it's really close. You have the honest gist of this tweet. I'm not going to give this guy any credibility by mentioning his
name
on the show.
He's a clown, is what he is.
But, like, we wait for the greatest moments from some of these guys, and then immediately it's the door opening for how we can cut him down. 47 points. Now, imagine a scenario with, let's say, Jim Harden, where it's a game seven, and you're going up against the Golden State Warriors at home with a chance to win. All hands on deck. You're an MVP. Chris Paul's down, and you lead the barrage of how many? 26?
27.
27 missed three-pointers. 27 missed, and then you got nothing but excuses afterwards.
Right.
Last night, he was the scoring option. That's it. 43% of the points came from him.
Amazing.
Sixth most in a finals game in history. And yet, the next day after 47 points, it's, yeah, I mean, all that really did was show us you need an even better player than Steph in order for Steph to win. What?
No, you just need a slightly better supporting cast, which exactly. shot 37%, 22 of 60 from the rest of the guys on your team. So it wasn't that you were missing another player as good as you, which would have been the difference. You needed guys to hit open shots. DeMarcus Cousins struggled mightily going 1 for 7. You needed him to play a little bit better. Cook shot well, but you needed Livingston to play better. Jerebko to hit open threes. He had 3 absolute daylight clean looks that he missed. Mm-hmm. It wasn't about having another great player. It was about the supporting cast.
Exactly. I totally agree with you. That was a dumb take, whoever that guy was that said that. Extremely dumb take. And it's funny, we think about Steph and his 47-point performance, and we just expected him to kind of do that and be great because he is a scoring option. But people don't realize how tough it is to score that many points against a team that is just focusing on you. You are the sole focus of their defense. We didn't see a box in one, but there was a lot of help on any screen that came off that Steph came off of, and they were helping off of other guys to make sure that they focus on Steph. Where he's at, if he gives the ball up, there's always guys focused on him. And he goes out and gets 47 points?
Amazing.
That is ridiculously hard to do, and it just shows you how good Steph is. We saw his shooting ability.
And he's not Shaq.
6 for 13.
You can't just dump it to him down low and he backs you in and dunks it.
Right.
Like, he's going to be shooting from long distances away from the target.
Against one of the best defenses in the league.
Yeah. And then he's got to dribble
long
through the
defenders,
trees to
right.
make the layups, and he was doing that as well.
The guy played his heart out, man.
History will remember him more fondly than the present acknowledges. Like, right now,
for
we
sure.
live in a society where if you're on top, we got to cut it down. And if you're somewhat underrated, we have to overblow the situation in order to be different from the status quo. That's how we get our recognition now. Say something that isn't the norm, right? Mm-hmm. But then history down the road, we're going to look back and it's going to be the same people that when the new guy's out there knocking down threes, you're going to say, yeah, this is nice, but this is nothing like what Steph Curry did. There will never be another Steph Curry. And that's the thing. Steph is smart enough and enlightened enough to understand that. He goes about his business. He doesn't try to change who he is. He doesn't try to change people's opinions. He just plays his game. He continues to put up the numbers, roll up the stats, roll up the accomplishments. And one day, idiot society will wake up and look and go, oh, yeah. Oh, my God, he was awesome. He's definitely on my all-five team.
Yeah, and the
if
thing,
I'm forming a team of the top five guys in the 2000s,
right.
how do you not put him on? You're
Without
an idiot.
Without
and the thing
doubt.
That's so great about Steph, he's got such a great attitude, and he's so joyful that he can just stay above all the criticism and guys talking about him the way your guy, who remained nameless.
He's not my guy.
Right.
He's a troll.
That guy
who
talking
sent out
about
a tweet.
Him that way, yeah, that dumb take. He's just able to stay above it so easily. Like, some guys have an itch to get back and
listen
and
to the noise,
right? Listen to the noise. It's easy for him, and part of it is because of the way he was raised, obviously. But he's just built that way, where he's able to kind of just block out the noise and stay joyful and have a great attitude. The guy's never in a bad mood. Even after a bad game or during a bad game, he's cheering for his teammates.
Right.
So none of that fazes him. And it's the perfect demeanor for someone that's in his position who's been hated on so much. And that's why you understand guys like Andre saying, the only reason I play is to protect Steph's legacy. I just like the guy. He's a good dude. I like being around him. And that's the only reason I play. That's the reason I fight through injuries.
Yeah.
Just so I can help him out.
And I think that to me speaks to the Kevin Durant question as well then, because you have Andre Iguodala openly saying, I'm fighting for Steph. And DeMarcus Cousins has come back from not one but two injuries. Andrew Bogut was dusted off the Australian scrap heap. Sean Livingston, who may be washed, is fighting for every last second of his career. And yet you've got Kevin Durant with a mild calf strain, and he's working to come back. My point is, Kalena, if he doesn't come back, I personally would look at that and say, well, you had all these other guys fighting tooth and nail to make it back, and you couldn't come back off a mild calf strain?
There's different levels of
injury.
And we can't just say it was mild, even though they say grade one. You never know with those things. The body is really weird, and the MRI sometimes doesn't pick up every single thing in there. It could have been worse than they let on. You never know. And people's bodies react to injury differently, and he's had calf issues before. That's really close to the Achilles. You never know. You never know, man.
Well, switching gears real quick, and you're talking about another guy that's slotted to play, just got the news, you say got the news that Klay Thompson's going to play. And understand that. understanding that what a hamstring, you're talking about different body parts. The hamstring, you got to run, you got to be able to move, do certain things. And it's a big muscle, one of the biggest muscles in your body. What can you expect from Klay Thompson? I understand he's going to play. Is Klay Thompson going to – where do you see this guy? Think about it. If you're Toronto, I'm putting him in a track meet, and I'm saying I'm going to run him. I'm running him off the line. I'm doing everything to see, to test that hamstring out. What can we expect from Klay Thompson?
I watched him work out before game three last night, and he was moving actually really well, really well. I watched him the day before, and he was moving pretty good. And talking to him,
okay,
he was really happy with the improvement he had made since Sunday.
Yeah.
That game two. And he was thinking, it's hard for me to not see myself out there.
Oh, you saw him.
That's okay. What he said.
Okay. And you saw him move, and you saw
him. I saw him move, and he was moving pretty well. Now, he wasn't going full speed, like all the way full speed. But he was moving at a pretty nice pace. So I'm thinking with a couple days off here, you got one more day in between. You play Friday. I think he'll be moving well. And if I'm the Toronto Raptors, I'm attacking him. But he is a really good defender. So if he is all the way right and your game plan is to attack Klay Thompson, a healthy Klay Thompson, that may not go as well for you.
And defensively, if you're the Warriors, do you just put him on Danny Green and maybe you give him some turns on Kyle Lowry? You keep him away from Kawhi Leonard in order to protect him a little bit?
I think so. I think put him on Danny Green, and obviously the Warriors switch a lot, so he'll probably end up on Kawhi Leonard at some point. But Kawhi Leonard's an interesting player because a lot of times he just kind of goes slow, and then he'll just explode at exactly the right time to get to his perfect spot or get to the basket. So he's an interesting player to defend. I think Klay will be ready for him. But, yeah, if I'm the Warriors, I'd rather not see Klay Thompson on Kawhi Leonard for a lot of the game. Maybe let him switch on to him every now and then, but he's not your primary defender. You want Andre on him, Draymond Green on him at times. But you don't want Klay Thompson on him for most of the game.
Can you deploy him in a similar manner that you normally do? Maybe you don't match him up with Kawhi, but does he play 35-plus minutes? Does he start? Is he in the same rotations that he was pre-injury?
Yeah, you start him. You definitely start him in 35 minutes or more. Hopefully he's able to go longer. But we'll be able to see from the jump how Klay's feeling because he is a guy that is not stationary. He's going to continue to move. He's going to continue to run. If we are watching the game and we're going, hey, Klay's not really moving as much. Seems like he's just trying to catch the ball stationary. He's not really coming off screens, setting guys up like he normally does. We'll be able to tell for sure.
Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Kalena Azubuki in studio with us here on 95.7 The Game. If Durant's going to come back Friday night, if he's going to come back in game five, people are concerned about the chemistry, the flow. There is no way that he comes back, you put the starting five out there as we remember it, and they just jump right back into where they were with the Clippers. Him scoring 35-plus a night, everyone looking good, complacency being your only enemy, which is what struck them a couple times in that series. But what could we expect? How do you think something like that would look? It's almost like so many different hodgepodge lineups have been put together over the last couple weeks that really anything you throw out there, it's not like it can get any worse, especially with him involved.
I agree. I think you throw him out there, there's definitely going to be an adjustment period. And we're going to see him get the ball in the mid post, and the Warriors are going to run split action. KD, depending on how he comes out, he'll be aggressive like he normally is, but he'll probably be looking to let the game come to him a little bit and not try to do too much and not just try to be the savior that walks in there scoring and shooting every single possession. He's going to look for his teammates. He is an unselfish guy. We'll probably see him try to make some passes to Klay Cutting or Steph.
Do you run
off a split action? What now?
We'll finish.
Yeah, and obviously KD is a guy that can handle the ball and pick and roll, and if he's feeling good at the end of the game, maybe you put it in his hands a little bit and let him rock that way. But there will be an adjustment period, and he is going to be a little rusty. I'm not really concerned about his wind
right. And
his conditioning because if you look at his body, he doesn't have much fat on him, and his body type is not one that is going to get out of shape that quickly. So he's probably been riding the bike and so some low impact stuff. Alter G. Alter G is something that I did and spent way too much time in. I
love
hate relationship. It's basically a treadmill and a bubble. So it's like you're running on the moon. Situation. Yeah, it's like you're running on the moon. Nuance.
The treadmill itself is inside of a bubble. I've seen people on a treadmill where like the lower half, I think, is water.
The lower half. Yeah, just the lower half.
Is this what you're talking about?
So you have it. Yeah, I'm talking about Alter G. So Alter G is.
So you're a part of the rest of us up top, but down low, the whole, there's something you're stepping into.
Half your body is covered in this bubble. You basically put on this belt and you zip yourself in, and they pump air into this thing. And basically, you're running, but you're not as heavy.
Right.
Right. So it's lower impact on your knees.
Yeah, it's only.
No, it's more pleasant than
the
running
only thing
on a regular
more unpleasant treadmill. Is the price tag. I just punched it up here. A pre-owned Alter G Pro treadmill.
Pre-owned.
$28,995, Coach. So
why are you always thinking about money?
I'm just thinking about if I could get an Alter G to maybe help my lower half, which is in need of more.
Because cash rules everything
just
around
it. Just
go
for a walk. How about that?
You.
Start with
It'll
a walk,
help your knees.
And then you know, go from
Coach,
there.
Coach, I can walk, but it's no Alter G when I'm walking with my weight on top and my fragility on the bottom half. I was looking for an Alter G. I was thinking maybe, you know, with another Nick's Crispy Tacos appearance, maybe I could afford an Alter G.
An Alter G is something that helps you run quicker. So
sure.
You're able to work on your gait. Whereas if you're just running in regular gravity like the rest of us, you may not be able to run as fast because it's too stressful on your joints and your knees or whatever you hurt.
Look at that thing. Where are you going to put that thing?
You're buying
seriously? You don't have the real estate for that. Nobody in the Bay Area has the real estate for that.
I got a kid about ready to go to college so I can...
That's his entire room. The entire room in which he sleeps is that thing's going to take out. That
Shout
thing,
out the laundry room.
That thing is huge.
It is huge. It is huge. And maybe today is not the best day to suggest it. It is our 21-year anniversary, so probably not the best day for me to come home with a $29,000 treadmill.
Shout out the anniversary. Congrats. Shout out Nick's Crispy Tacos. You got anything else here to dump at the end of the show?
Say yeah,
you
it's know, your anniversary gift.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Do you know what today is?
Exactly.
It's our anniversary.
It's your anniversary
you
gift.
You record that song for the Mrs. Lowe. You can, off air, you can do a little, sing the little
That's
ditty
for me.
That's
a great
song. Do you know? Yeah. A little duet here going
it's
on.
Our
well, I mean, if you can all do it, why don't you do it? Do
anniversary.
Anniversary. Do you know
what today is?
It's our anniversary.
Here's your Alter G, baby.
As the boogie scores.
That's great.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Jeez.
Thank you. Takes me out of having to get a gift. I appreciate that.
Wow. There you go.
Ease your way into it a little bit. Wow. It's nice. Once the chemistry started to form, this is what we could see. Durant comes in. Maybe it's the first quarter like we saw right there. You're deferring to each other a little bit.
Yeah.
But then you felt that flow.
Good comparison there.
Yeah. Well, nice. I mean, you know, someone's got to actually bring it to the topic at hand once we're done with all of our promos and shout-outs and singing and interruptions.
That was more of a Jacob Evans, Damian Lee kind of duet.
You know.
But,
oh, my God.
Are you wrong for that?
It's super. Wrong, without a doubt.
The question I was going to ask real quick was, where do you think they get KD involved early? So I know you said he'd hit the flow. Do you, if you're Steve Kerr, do you come out and say, no, we're going to make sure this guy gets a shot. We're going to create that for him often. That's what
for sure, saying. For sure. You want him involved early and often. Maybe you give it to him in the mid post, like I was saying, and you let him make a decision. He doesn't have to shoot it.
Right? Yeah.
You can give it to him to make a play and just get him involved in the flow of the offense. Let him be aggressive to make a play for his teammates. Then it gets reciprocated and someone makes a play for him. Hopefully they make the game easy for him. Hopefully he's able to run the floor. You get out in transition. There's a little something going on between Lowe and Dibs right now. What's happening, guys?
Imagine being in this spot and dealing with it
every single day.
For 4 hours. Like,
he's
imagine
the most
that.
Immature 60-year-old man I ever met in my
60?
Life.
Wow.
Thankfully, the show That's is done. Amazing. You were awesome, as always.
Yeah, great stuff.
Zabuki, great big round
guys,
of applause.
This was fun.
As usual. Thank you for coming in. We're probably not going to see you again for a little while, so maybe we'll see you at the gym Friday, and if not, good luck in Toronto. Travel
Appreciate
safe.
It. Thank you.
And however the series ends, we got to get at least one more visit, right?
For sure.
Bring us your boys at least one more time.
I'll just pop in uninvited one time.
Yeah, smuggle some of those
right.
cookies.
The best
back.
Cookies in the world, right?
If you're gonna
definitely.
Honestly, if you guys taste these cookies, and it's not just chocolate chip too, they got buttercup, they got Reese's, all kinds of. It's like one of these egg cookies.
Bring
they
them
got
back.
M&Ms
Thank
in
you.
There.
Bring them all back. All the cookies in Canada.
Thank you.
Get them all here.
Right.
That's
like
it
I can't
us.
Talk about it without bringing it in. Right? That's messed up.
Sign right. Mets, Guru. Next, we're done. Kalena, Dibs, Anna, Lowe. I'm Joe. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. right here on 95.7 The Game.
You can win Game 4 tickets today at 5 on The Damon Bruce Show.
Listen closely to head coach Steve Kerr's interview with Damon for your chance to win Game 4 tickets.
Woo-hoo!
Score! Steve Kerr on the Damon Bruce Show, today at 5.
Steph was incredible. He does things that, honestly, I don't think anybody has ever done.
On the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7. The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.